station promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Get ready for the most popular morning show anywhere on the internet. You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Mia, right here on LA Talk Radio. If you'd like to take part in the show today, give us a call at 323-203-0815. And now your program hosts, Sam and Mia.
Good morning. It's Wednesday, September 18th. The year is 2013, in case you don't know.
In case you don't know. Didn't know that, Sam. Yeah. I thought we were in 2016.
Well, I'm trying to distract you from what day it is. Because
Everybody gets ready for this. When you least expect it.
It'll be there.
It'll be there. Yeah, like you won't even know. Like we'll just be in a conversation and then out of nowhere I'll be like, happy hump day.
Okay. All right. Thank you. So you got to squeeze it in.
You're welcome. Yeah. I always do.
So it means it's the middle of the week.
Yes.
Which is good.
It does. Yeah. How about that?
How about that? I can already smell the weekend around the corner.
Can you?
Yeah.
Wow. Even halfway through, you have really good smell there.
Definitely.
Sam.
Definitely.
Check you out.
Yeah. I started to like weekends now. I used to like working a lot, but now give me the weekend.
Yeah. I go back and forth with that too. Like sometimes I'm like, I can't wait for Monday. I need to get back in my routine. I need my, you know, my work week and
Usually Sunday night, after a while, I'm like, okay, I think I'm ready for my weekend. Get back to bed and sleep in a little bit. That would be cool, huh?
Well, you know, for me, a weekend means football, so.
That's true.
So I can't wait for Sunday.
And a lot of partying. I mean, you must have gone to like a million pool parties this summer.
You think
I do think so.
I think it just seems like that.
Really?
I don't know if I've actually gone to a million. I mean, maybe like 1,800.
Okay.
But I don't know about a million.
You're right. Okay. You're right. I was exaggerating a little bit.
Just kidding. So was I. I don't think I've been to that many in my whole life. But
I know. Yeah, I got to check those out too. But they sound like fun, you know.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So enjoy the summer. Keep going to all these parties.
Yeah, I know. Before I can't anymore.
Right.
There's one that I still have yet to check out. I don't even think it's necessarily a pool party, but it's in Hollywood. I think it used to be a club called like Colony or something. I was there a long time ago.
Yeah.
But now it's like XIV, but they call it 14. It's just like the Roman numerals for 14.
Right.
But I hear it's just an absolute shit show.
Really?
Like, I mean, everybody's just insane. They have like amazing DJs and you just end up being like covered in champagne and confetti and whatever. Like,
how lovely.
I just, yeah. I mean, I don't know. Like, I feel like I'd have to really be in the mindset to do it. Cause one time, like, I thought about going by myself because I had never been. And for whatever reason, like, everybody was busy. And I knew, like, there were some people that were already going to be there. And I'm like, well, I'll just find them, whatever. And I was, you know, talking to a female friend of mine about it, like, yeah, I think I'm just gonna, you know, cruise over and check it out. She's like, no, you can't do that. Like, you don't understand. She's like, especially if you're like alone, if you don't have protectors, guys will like yank your head back by your hair and just pour alcohol down your throat.
Wow.
Like, it's rowdy. You need to be
really
like with a group in the right mindset. You can't just show up
by
yourself.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, all
that's
right,
true.
I'll take
that
your word
sense.
For it.
Yeah.
So I gotta get a group together. And
don't get too adventurous there. You never know what you get into,
days.
You know.
I know, right? Well, I mean, you know me. I don't get too crazy.
Yeah.
Heck, I don't even like most of the weekend. Like I had a water bottle in my hand. Like I don't even drink all that much.
Right.
When I go out. So.
Yeah. That's okay if you don't enjoy it. Why do it? You know, I mean.
Right. Yeah, it's like
point?
Like I said, I gotta be like in that mindset. You know,
right.
Other than that, like there's really no point for me to be drinking. Mm. So it's like, you know, I'm just not feeling it.
Good bottle of whiskey and you'll be good, right?
Exactly. I know. See, that's the thing. They always like vodka sodas and whatever. But I'm like, no, whiskey. I want whiskey. Uh-huh. Such a brat.
What age did you have your first drink? Do you remember?
Well, on my 21st birthday, like, I pretty much tried everything.
Really?
Like, oh, here, try this. It's a shot of tequila. I'm like, blah, don't like that. You know, okay, this is, you know, vodka cranberry, like the staple drink. You know, I'm like, it's all right. Like, right. I don't love it. And I don't know, what else did I try? I tried everything. You know, like the super, like, fancy shots, like the, like, Vegas bomb, like the fruity, like, foofy kind of, you know, kind of shots.
Foofy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very, like fruity and foofy. I don't know. That's what my mom always called them. She calls them, like, foofy drinks.
Okay. Well, foofy it is. Never heard the word before, but okay.
To describe alcohol, I know, right? And then what, I don't know, I tried a little bit of everything, and then by the time I had tried whiskey, I was like, I like this one.
Yeah.
And it just sort of stuck, and that was my drink.
That's your drink of choice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sounds good.
Yeah. So.
But you're not a big drinker, right?
No. Yeah. No, not really.
I'm not either, man. I'll just drink when it's served, but you know.
Yeah, and I feel like, you know, I made the mistake of, like, 'cause I don't really mind the taste of a vodka Red Bull, but then I was feeling like why do I feel like this? Like, I was like literally like shaking,
really?
And I'm like, I don't feel good. Like, this is not good for me. And they're like, oh, 'cause it's Red Bull.
Right.
I'm like, oh, duh. That's like an energy drink. No wonder.
Really,
like, I don't usually drink those. I don't drink coffee in the mornings. I don't really consume much caffeine like that.
Right.
So
that made you bounce off the walls.
Vodka Red Bulls, I'm thinking, like, oh, I don't hate the taste, but oh my gosh, it makes me feel terrible. So I don't know. I gotta find myself a new club drink. Yeah. I guess I'll go back to vodka cranberries.
I know. It's
if
like
I have to.
It's like mixing up a depressant and an upper. You know, I mean,
yeah.
Your body doesn't know what to
do.
Yeah,
you're not supposed to do that. But what about you, Sam? What's
what
your
about
drink
me?
Of choice?
Well, we were talking about this. I liked whiskey too, like, you know, whiskey and 7-Up or something, and rum and coke is good. You know, I enjoy rum and stuff, but you know, I don't drink that much. I really don't. You know, beer here and there and stuff.
Yeah.
But,
Yeah, see, beer I'll do on Sundays for, like, during a game. I'll have a beer. But
I know, that's fun, like, with chicken wings and stuff, you know.
Actually, you know what's funny? I've actually never, like, had, like, buffalo wings before.
Really?
Even in my Hooter days.
Yeah, in your Hooters days, you never tried it?
Yes, I never did. I mean, granted, most of the time I was always eating salads because I was preparing for the pageant or the photo shoot or the calendar shoot or, you know, touring or something. So it was like, I was always trying to be really healthy,
I never really
ate the wings. Like, I had the boneless ones, but I've never actually, like, gotten, like, down and dirty with the, you know, like, picking
the
them off.
And
also, I'm super, like, I don't know. Like, I'm such a baby when it comes to spicy stuff.
Right.
I can't
so you don't
handle
get
anything
it
spicy.
Spicy.
It hurts my mouth. I'm
ow.
Like, that physically is burning my tongue. I don't enjoy it at all.
Yeah. Wings, I actually enjoy plain, believe it or not. They're the best, you know? And
maybe I'll try that one.
Yeah, right? Try those. Those Hooters are pretty good, actually. I like going there and eating those with beer.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure that's why you like going there, Sam.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you know, no, it really is.
I'm sure that's why any guy says he likes going there.
Yeah, I don't really notice the girls that much. I mean, you know, many times they're not that attractive either, you know?
Yeah, no, that's true. It depends
they're, like, really
on where
flat
you go.
And stuff, and it's like, this is Hooters, guys, you know?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. So that's what it's about, you know. But how long did you work at Hooters for?
It was just a year because
a year.
I started working around, I want to say, like, it was like January, and I was still, like, finishing up college. Mm-hmm. And then I wanted to move out to LA sooner.
Right.
But I got just so wrapped up with the, you know, with the pageant and the calendar. It was like, I felt like I had to go a full year. So I was there from, like, January to January. Because then a week after the new year was when I moved out here.
I see.
So I felt like even though I wasn't on a contract with them,
right.
I felt like I was doing so much. I didn't want to just, like, you know, peace out, because right. they were giving me so much exposure. And then we had, you know, the Dreamgirls show in the Virgin Islands, and you know, they were like flying me everywhere all the time. So it's like, okay, like I'll, you know, I'll finish out the full, you know, the full cycle of, you know, Hooters marketing and modeling for a year, and yeah, and then I, you know, then I came out here. So
good. So they were like picking models out of their own waitresses and stuff like that. Is that what they were doing?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They all have right. like, you know, all these little like regional pageants, and then you know, then they pick like usually like two people from each state to go to, you know, the big pageant or country, I should say, because it was international.
Oh, okay.
And then there I took photos, which is what they ended up using for the back cover of the 2010 Hooters calendar.
Oh, okay, cool.
And yeah, man, I was on like mugs and cups and like three decks of playing cards and t-shirts and koozies and like, I mean, just everything you can like put a picture on, like,
wow,
I was there in a bikini.
Yeah.
Like,
good for you.
Oh boy, what else is new? Even like, even after I moved out here, after it was like probably like a year or so, and all of a sudden I get a text from my ex-boyfriend. He's like, just saw some guy reading this on the train. And it was like a big, like one of those little like pamphlets that show you all the cool things you can do in Chicago, like a fold out, like a big map.
Right.
Well, on the, you know, on the, like on the cover of it, it says like Chicago. And then on the back cover of it, it said Hooters, and it lists all the Hooters locations in right. Chicago. And there is a big picture of me on the back of the thing. I'm like, oh my gosh. It was one of the photos I think they used on the menu, because I was on the menu.
You
too.
Were on the menu.
I was on the menu and billboards and on the top of taxis.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I mean. It was like everywhere.
Yeah.
So it was fun.
Yeah. Well,
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It was you know.
Good for you.
My
there
bikini
you go.
Modeling
yeah.
days.
There you go.
It's funny because I hardly
get a lot of attention.
Actually worked there.
Yeah.
You know? most of the time they were like flying me out. I had like 16 trips in 16 weeks or something crazy like that.
Yeah.
When I was touring.
Wow, that's some gig, huh?
It was. Wow. It really was. What a
you.
Good topic for hump day, man. How about that?
Yeah. There you go.
I haven't talked about that in a long time.
Yeah. All right. Well, at any rate, sounds good. And the weather's been great, too. It hasn't been too hot. In fact, I had to wear a jacket last night. It was
yes.
that chilly. Yeah.
Yes. How yeah. about that? It yeah. was a little cold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
That's okay.
Yeah. Well, it was cold, but we have a very hot guest in the studio. And we're going to bring her in now. And we have Abigail Rich. Welcome to the show, Abigail.
Thank you very much.
Of course.
Honored to be here.
Yeah, she was just showing me. So I was like, oh, she was showing me a photo of her in a Hooters uniform.
Oh, really?
In front of Hooters, yeah.
You used to work at Hooters, too,
huh?
And you probably had, like, the biggest chest there, right?
I do.
Yeah.
I do. That's what got me my job.
Really?
But I know y'all go there just for the wings. I'm sure of that.
We do go for the wings.
We know better, don't we?
Yeah.
Look, I don't need to go to Hooters to see boobs, you know? I mean, come on.
Yeah, okay. I guess you can go to a strip club.
Yeah, there you go.
Classy, Sam.
We're more classy than Hooters.
Yeah. There you go. So so you used to work there, huh?
I did. That was my first job working towards my career where I'm at now.
Oh, wow. Okay. So what do you do now?
I am a actress and model. I was a Playboy bunny and, of course, a Hooters girl.
So, oh wow!
Yeah.
So you've been doing a lot in your time and stuff.
Yes.
When were you on in Playboy?
I was a bunny.
Not in the magazine,
right?
In the clubs, right?
I was a bunny. I was worked at the very last Playboy club in the United States.
Oh really?
Yep, they're no more. They're gone.
Right.
What? Why?
I don't know. Maybe they weren't popular anymore. I don't know what it is. Yeah.
Well, I don't know about that because I loved working there.
Yeah.
It was at the Palms in Las Vegas. That's
right.
Why I moved to Vegas.
Oh, okay.
And, I loved it. It was so classy. It was just
really
wonderful.
Wow. That's pretty cool. Yeah. So, great. So, well, we'll get to your career more and stuff, but let's find out a little bit about you.
Right.
And you're not originally from L.A., right?
No, sir.
You're visiting us, right?
I'm originally from Dallas, Texas.
Oh, wow.
We can hear that. Your accent.
I don't have an accent.
A country girl.
You do.
That's what they say, right?
I am. Yeah. I'm a country girl.
That's true, yeah. Wow, that's cool. So now, what was Dallas like? I mean, did you have a good childhood there?
I did. Uh-huh. I did. I love Dallas. I love being a Texan. I mean, it's just people go, where are you from? Or, you know, I always say, you know, what country y'all from? Because I'm from Texas. Because we were our own country.
Right.
It was just, Texas was just very, and I'm driving around Los Angeles here, the City of Angels, and it's beautiful. But, oh, my God, the motorcycle speeding by you on both sides. You're in the carpool lane and stuff. Mm-hmm. But this is beautiful where y'all are at here.
Yeah.
The beaches? Ooh.
You like the beaches, huh?
Oh, yes, sir, I do.
So you grew up there. What did you do there? You went to school.
I did.
Do you have any siblings?
I have a sister and a brother. I don't talk much with my brother anymore, but I do have a sister. She's my sister-in-law, but we're close.
Oh,
but
really?
I talk to her every now and then. She's a sweetheart. They live in Arizona.
But when you grew up, you only had a brother, right?
I had two brothers.
Oh, you had two
and
brothers.
And I lost a brother in 2010.
Oh, really?
Older brother.
I'm so sorry.
Wow.
Yes.
So that's pretty recent.
Yes, it is.
Wow. But were you close when you grew up and stuff?
No.
No, huh?
No.
None of the kids were close?
We're from a dysfunctional family.
Oh, okay. Well, welcome to the club, you know.
Uh-huh.
Well, so what was so dysfunctional about it? What was the matter?
Oh, wow. Y'all are getting right into this.
Yeah.
Well, my mama didn't want me when I was born, so
We
kind of all just got sent different directions.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So being born into a family that doesn't really want kids.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
That's terrible, huh?
She was a different person.
Yeah. So, but she did decide to raise you.
No, sir.
No?
No, sir. I was raised by foster families and sometimes my grandmama and granddaddy.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Wow.
So it's pretty much, I don't have much of a family left anymore.
Right, right. What was it like growing up? So you didn't have a great childhood, right?
No,
or did
sir.
You?
I look at every, if you asked me this before 2000, I would tell you no, I didn't. Now I look back and go, it was great. I'm alive. I'm doing great things. I'm enjoying life every day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, there's nothing that can get me down. Nothing.
Wonderful.
So, I mean, I get to be around horses. I have horses on my ranch now.
Oh, really?
I've been riding horses since I was 3.
Wow.
So I love horses.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Horses and guns, too, right? Do you like guns, too?
No, I don't do that, but I do got this thing for cowboys.
Yeah, I'm
sure. I'm not talking football.
Okay, good. Well. I'm glad she's not talking about football.
No, I'm just talking about real cowboys.
Yeah, not the Dallas Cowboys.
No.
Well, are you
into
football? Being from Dallas and everything? No. Yeah, you've
not
had a
really.
Great. Yeah, you've had a great team, but I think they've been overrated. You know,
because they used to be very good.
They were called America's team and everything. They still call them America's team, but they really aren't. You know, they haven't won anything in a long time.
Right.
But, during the heydays, man, they were
overplayed or whatever the word is. Yeah.
They were great players.
Overrated.
Professional sports kind of lost focus. Now, when I was at the Poy Boy Club, I met a third base coach for a baseball team from down here someplace.
Mm-hmm.
And he was only making $31 million a year, and all he did was complain about it.
Really?
You know, I can't
that's
make
not
it
enough,
on that.
Right?
And I'm like, oh, my. But I did a photo shoot up in the Victorville, California area, and we did it at this Mavericks baseball stadium, and it's down below league or something.
Mm.
But those boys out there had so much fun.
Really?
I mean, and it was all about having fun. I mean, the tickets were $1, a hot dog was $1.
Yeah.
You know, and they had fun playing the game. It wasn't about the money or the sports. It was about taking care of the fans. They were throwing T-shirts and baseballs to the little kids that were out there. And and I guess these are the boys that are working up to be in the major leagues or whatever y'all call it. But they had fun.
Right.
So I enjoyed that.
Yeah, sounds good. So you grew up there. So you were like moving from foster home to foster home,
yes,
or were
sir,
you in like
was.
One place?
I was
really?
Like that. Yeah.
So I mean, what did you think? I mean, did you feel like, what kind of a life do I have, or were you too young to understand?
I didn't understand a lot of it. My mama did something she really shouldn't have, and she went away. So she wasn't able to raise kids.
Right.
So I just got bounced around, and you go from this family for a while to this. Some of them were really nice. Some of them weren't. But,
wow.
You know?
Yeah.
It's all how the end chapter reads is how your life is judged by.
That's true, yeah. Mm-hmm. So you grew up there. I mean, you've
So did you go to school still?
I did. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. I graduated from all the schools in Texas. You know, and they knew. They knew, you know, I was with foster families and stuff. And the last part was with my grandmama and granddaddy, and they were sweethearts, but very old-fashioned.
Really?
Very
but you persevered, I mean, despite of everything. Yeah.
Yes.
That's amazing. So you finished school and everything.
Absolutely.
And what did you do? At what point did you decide to move on your own?
Well, when I was 18, I was on my own.
Right. So you had planned for it, right?
I did.
You probably figured enough of these foster families. I need to be my own person.
Exactly.
Yeah. So you had to wait till you were 18.
Yes. I had to take the bull by the horns.
Right. And you moved out on your own?
I did.
And you got a job and stuff?
I did. When I was 17, I saw this horrible accident on the freeway, y'all call them. And I watched the paramedics taking care of somebody. And I thought, oh, my God, that's so wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided I wanted to do that. So when I was 17, I started working on my training.
Oh.
I knew I wanted to be a paramedic.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
So did you have to go to school for that?
Oh, yes, I did.
So you went
Absolutely.
To school for paramedics. And how long was that?
That took me almost a year and a half.
Oh, really?
To do that.
So it's not too bad, but it's quite involved.
Oh, it is very involved.
Right.
Very
so you have to learn a lot of medicine and stuff too, right?
Absolutely. Pharmacology. You have to learn the human body.
Wow.
You've got to, you know, just everything. The nerves, the muscles, the bones. How many bones are in the body? I mean, just everything. Because at a person's worst moment of their life,
right,
it's them and me.
Right.
There's no doctor. There's no nurse. There's nobody for me to go, what do I do?
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
It was that.
So you need to know what to do.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. So what drew you to that? I mean, what attracted you to that?
Because,
you know, I mean, for me, it's like I don't understand doctors and paramedics and stuff. It's like, why do you want to deal with injured, sick people? You know, tell me.
Because they want to help people.
Exactly.
I mean, I personally couldn't because I am so squeamish.
Yeah.
Like, I get a paper cut and I'm like, blood. Like, it was like a tiny bit of blood. I'm like, I'm going to pass out. Like, I'm such a wimp. I can see what's weird is I feel like I can handle pain really well, but once I see blood, I'm like, that's it. Game over for me.
Oh, that's the cool
so I
part.
couldn't do it. So I give you guys so much credit.
Well, I don't understand the doctors either. No paramedic does.
Right.
You know, but it's and you're right, Mia. I wanted to help people.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it was about.
Really?
And,
wow.
And for as a paramedic, we love trauma.
Right.
You know, I mean, on the way down here, the drive down here, we had a motorcycle crash right in front of us. He wasn't wearing a helmet or everything. I mean, it was, he hit head first. And I walked up, he was conscious, and I looked at him and said, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, very smart.
He looked at me, went, so I'm okay. I said, oh, sweetheart, I didn't say that.
Yeah.
I just said, this is cool. You're going to have some scars. The girls are going to love it.
Yeah.
And he was like, okay, what do? You just lay there and don't move. You know?
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Wow.
I love it. I do. It was about helping people.
Right.
At the worst moment of your life. You know, the paramedics.
That's true.
Not the doctors, not the ER staff, not the fire department.
Right.
It's the paramedics. They're the ones going to get you through it.
Right.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah. So how many years did you do that for? A while?
Oh, I did that for a while, up until the early 2000s.
Oh, wow.
I worked my way as on a ground ambulance.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day we were working on a very critical patient, so we called for an airship.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the air ambulance helicopter. And they came in and landed in the middle of the freeway. And it was like watching angels come out of the sky. And they were so nice. Oh, they were, you know, the flight nurses were so nice. Oh, what do we need? This and that, you know. And he said, hey, you ever want to go with us? You're welcome to go with it. I said, I'll call y'all.
Really?
And I walked away from that going, wow, that's it.
Yeah, I want to fly.
That's it.
Yeah.
I wanted to do that.
Wow.
So that was my next hurdle I wanted to cross, and I did.
Right. And how do you get that? I mean, you have to be promoted or something?
There's
or?
A lot more training. They're critical
really?
Care transport paramedics now, and basically they don't ask anybody anything.
Mm.
I mean, they make your decisions, life or death. Anytime that airship launches, you see one flying, somebody's life is in peril.
Right.
I mean, one foot's in a grave, the other's on a banana peel.
Right.
But I never had anybody pass in my airship. It
really?
Was personal for me.
Wow.
It was.
Wow.
I always promised my patients, I'll get them through this.
Yeah.
You know, I love doing that.
Yeah, I'm sure. So you weren't scared of flying or anything?
No.
You loved it?
No, I loved it.
Yeah.
Well, I did at the time, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I know. It's like, I think as the years go by, you start to get more scared from flying and stuff. Would you say that? I mean, fear of flying?
Well, I had a very critical incident happen one day aboard a flight.
Mm.
And that kind of did me in.
Oh, really?
I did.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I don't know. You know, I mean, I used to love flying, mm-hmm. and now I don't anymore, you know. It's like
yes.
it's kind of scary for me now. But I don't know, man. I don't know if I told you, but I went on Groupon and I got this free mm-hmm. Flying lesson. And I don't know if I'm going to use it now, you know, because, and I used to fly.
Of what happened?
Yeah, yeah, I mean, I was a flight student. Well, no, not because of that, you know, I mean, you know, I was like doing a solo flight and I
nice.
Almost like hit the ground and stuff because I went into a spin.
Uh-huh.
And, but no, that's not what, I mean, I kept flying after that, you know, but that was not a
almost
problem.
Almost doesn't count. Just,
yeah, I know.
Almost doesn't count. That's like getting 2 sevenths in Las Vegas. Yeah. Almost won. Well, no, you didn't.
So it's a good thing, yeah. I mean, I'm still here, so that's a good thing. But,
yes, it
yeah,
is.
I'm going to have to give it to someone. I don't know that I want to do
I'll
it
I'll take
anymore.
It. I want
okay.
to do it.
Do it. Yes.
All right. I'll
I would
it
totally
to you.
Do it. That'd
really?
Be so cool.
It is.
Oh my gosh.
It's the coolest, man. I'm
that's probably
you,
something man. That I would have wanted to do anyway at some point in my life. But
yeah. Yeah.
You
well, yeah,
Groupon.
That's the thing. And I went, yeah, I mean, I flew for almost 50 hours, you know, and almost got my license. But then I moved to LA and I sort of dropped it. I was in Vegas at the time, taking flight lessons and stuff there, yeah. So I don't know what it's like flying here, but it would be probably pretty cool, you know,
mm-hmm,
along
yes.
the coast and stuff. You know?
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I am so down.
You should do it, Mia.
I think I will.
Yeah, okay,
I think
I'll
I will.
Give it
I'd
to
love
you,
to learn how to fly a plane. I mean, travel, it's like in my family. Like, my mom owns a travel agency, so
that's
I've been
true.
On
ooh, nice.
Planes all the time.
Right.
So, I mean,
yeah.
why not?
I know.
I'm so
those
excited.
Airline planes, man, they're frightening to me now. I don't know. I'm like, every time I fly, you know, when you hit turbulence and stuff, I'm like, oh, my
I
God.
I love
you
turbulence.
Know? Do you?
Yes. I'm such a sick freak when
that?
It comes to that. I love turbulence.
Really?
Like, I'm like that weirdo when it gets really bad. Like, I just like to test myself and get up and, like, uh-huh. go, like, walk to the bathroom or something and
oh
not hold
God.
On to anything.
While it's going.
And just see, like, you know, if I can, like, keep my balance.
Very
and
smart.
Most of the
yeah.
time, I can pretty yeah. well, like, when it gets crazy. But, yeah, it's great. Like, I'm, like, I've got this huge smile on my face. People are, like, screaming sometimes if it gets really bad.
Right.
And I'm, like, ha-ha-ha. Like, I'm, like, a giddy little kid. I'm, like, yay, turbulence. I don't know why. I just I love roller coasters. I love like
right.
I guess I just love that feeling
yeah.
when it drops.
Down,
you
right.
know.
Yeah.
I'm weird. I'm
you
weird.
Are weird. I mean, I don't know anybody that likes turbulence.
I've actually met a couple other people though. Believe
sometimes
it or not.
People get hurt from it. You know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when there's some serious ones, you know. I mean, things come out of the.
Oh,
the
with
bins
the suitcases,
and stuff. Yeah,
come
the suitcases
yeah.
and stuff, you know.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's not that's
yeah.
not fun.
No. But yeah, if you enjoy it, that's
but
cool.
But as far as like the feeling, you
yeah.
know, I like that feeling.
Okay.
Like roller coasters and stuff.
Okay.
I'm weird. I'm a sick
yeah,
freak.
We'll see.
I'm sorry.
Talk to me 20 years from now. Oh wow.
Yeah.
So anyway, so you were on helicopters and
yes.
that was cool. And so you stayed with that for a while?
I did.
Okay.
I loved my job. I
yeah.
loved doing that.
And you probably saved a lot of lives and stuff too, right?
I think I did.
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Isn't that a very stressful job too, though?
Absolutely.
It is. You have a lot of responsibility.
Absolutely. There's you are 100% responsible for that patient's care.
Right.
Everything. If they
now,
make it.
How does that? Is there, are there more than one paramedic or
there's
EMT?
There's two of us.
And the, okay.
There's just paramedics, flight medics
okay.
on board the air. Sometimes a flight medic and a flight nurse.
Okay. So you guys get all the information as you're flying over, or
yes.
you don't really get any
no,
info?
No, we do.
You're just kind
hopefully
of
the ground units will tell us what we've got.
Uh-huh.
And we work in a very small time frame. You know, once we, and we don't, if you'll notice, we'll do what's called a hot load. We don't even mm-hmm. shut the aircraft off. We grab the patient and run. Now, you see a lot of the locals, like the fire departments, they'll sit in front of somebody's house for 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
We don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
We grab them, go. We do our IVs, our intubation, our defibrillation, everything we're going to do while we're flying.
Wow.
We get them to the hospital because that's really what they need.
Right.
Right.
To get there fast.
So you get them all
absolutely.
Set up and then okay.
all packaged up with a bow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So now you mentioned an incident with a helicopter. It's written right here. So why don't you tell us about it? It's probably not a secret, right?
No, it's not a secret. A lot of people know about it.
Yeah.
Actually, in the early 2000s, we were on our way out to an oil platform. And, well, I'll back up a little bit. I don't think I'm really pretty. I mean, Mia, you're beautiful.
Oh,
you are beautiful.
Okay? You're so sweet.
I feel
thank
so
you.
Small sitting here. Okay.
Everybody does.
I never thought I was pretty. But the only thing I do like is my hair.
Uh-huh.
So I'd never wear my flight helmet, ever.
Oh.
I know. I'm a really? Bad girl. Okay. I mean, I was written up like 35 times for it.
Oh, really? But you still wouldn't do it. Because
well,
of your hair?
You wouldn't understand. Mia, you understand.
Yeah, me wouldn't understand.
All right, hair, all right? It's the only thing you have that looks good. And you put that, and besides, if I crash, really? What's this little bucket on my head going to do for me?
Right.
So I would put my helmet behind my life pack, my defibrillator, because it would hold it right where I needed it. Mm-hmm. So I did a shift, and I would always write myself up for it. So the next morning when I went in, when I got called into the office, the crew chief, all he'd have to do is sign me up that he disciplined me on it. So I did that. Then the next day, I went in, my next shift, and of course he walks out. You know, the duty room, all the crews are there. And he goes, Abby, I need to see you. And everybody's like, oh, you're so busted. And I went, yeah, fine, it's another day. You know, in fact, it was a Wednesday, too.
Uh-huh.
It's Wednesday, I got one more day this week. And so I go in, I hand him paper. He goes, what's that? I went, why'd you call me in? And he goes, well, wait a minute, were you not wearing your helmet? Now I'm a Texan. Texans don't lie. But I grab the paper back really quick. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. Why'd you all call me in?
Uh-huh.
And he goes, well, we have another flight medic on a different route going out on maternity. Want to know if you'd cover it. Mm. Oh, okay, I can do that. So I'm folding this paper up. And he goes, and yeah, I know you weren't wearing your helmet yesterday. The hospital called.
Right.
So I handed it back to him. He signed it. So next morning we were launched out to an oil platform. A gentleman had a heart attack. And I was in a different aircraft. I'm used to flying in an Augusta, which is an Italian aircraft. But I was in a Bell Long Ranger this time. I'm not used to it. It's completely configured differently. And so I'm talking to the medics on the oil platform, and they're telling me what's going on with the patient. So I'm drawing up my drugs, my narcotics, everything I need for them. So when we land, I'm ready to go.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I looked up. I started hearing little tones and stuff that I'm not used to, and I'm watching on the annunciator panel, which is the dashboard of the aircraft, and I'm seeing all these little lights start to flashing. All right, I'm like, okay, yeah, whatever, because I'm doing mental calculations on narcotics. Don't want to mess that up. And so I look over at the other medic, and he's pulling his shoulder straps really tight, pulling his helmet strap really tight and everything. And inside my little blonde brain here, I'm sitting here going, wait a minute, there's something going on here. But I'm still adding up mics and stuff, you know, how much morphine I'm going to have ready and everything.
Right.
And then I thought, wait a minute, something's wrong. And I looked up, and the pilot turned around and looked at me. And his eyes, he had that deer in front of the headlights look. Mm-hmm. He never said a word to me. But I looked at the instrument panel, and there's this big red light. It says master warning.
Wow.
And this means, well, life, as you all knows it, it's about to end. All right? And I thought, oh, God. I knew something was wrong. And we were 1,185 feet off the ground, according to the reports.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I don't remember much. We were flying over a forest area.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember sounds. I don't remember dropping, but we crashed.
Wow. Into the forest?
We did. We did. We went into what's called the canopy, the top of the trees, because we were scooting right along, so we kind of skimmed into the trees. And the pilot, Tom, goes, you know, Abby, eject, 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 get out. You know, well, I couldn't pull the pins on the door because I couldn't reach it. So I'm trying to figure out what's wrong. And then I looked down and there was a tree branch, about a 4-inch tree branch coming through the side of the aircraft. And it went into my tummy, right on the left side of my belly button.
Oh my gosh.
It hit my hip and came out right below my left kidney. And I looked at it and I don't remember feeling any pain.
Wow.
And I remember thinking, ouch. Okay. And I said, I can't pull the pins. And the other medic, Eric, goes, Abby's been shish kebabbed.
Wow.
You know, and I looked down, and then as I looked down, I saw the blood running down. Yeah, the helmet, I know, that came back and bit me. All right, but I was messed up. My ankles were broken. All the ribs on my left side were broken. I had a punctured lung.
Wow.
I was messed up big time. And they wanted to get out because I could smell the jet fuel. There was smoke. I mean, and all of a sudden, it's like, walking into a room and somebody turns on a light. Now you're like, oh, this is bad.
Yeah.
So they crawled over, and the boys were thinking how to rescue me. So they said, this is going to hurt. And I remember going, oh, you think?
Yeah,
really?
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit, right? So they started kicking at the branch to break it.
Wow.
Oh.
I felt the first three. I didn't feel the other four.
No, you were out.
I remember them kicking, but I just didn't feel it.
Wow.
And so then they pulled the door, and I watched the door tumble down through the trees. Mm. Now I'm thinking, all right, we're going where?
Yeah.
I mean, really?
Yeah.
And so they said, no, we're going to get you out of here, and we're going to hold on to the tree, and help's going to be on the way. And they did that. And so we got out there, and I looked at him, and Tom had me between him and the tree trunk, and he was holding onto branches and holding me up. And I remember thinking, well, how long is it going to take? Because this is bad. I mean, I was feeling really cold. And
you were in shock. Probably.
I was.
That's why you weren't feeling anything.
I was. Yeah. You're right.
Yeah.
And, I mean, all my training was pretty much gone.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I said, did you call for help? And he said, well, we didn't get a chance to. And my heart sunk.
Wow.
Because I didn't know. You know, I mean, I'm sitting here now. I'm trying to, you know, do a self-assessment, look at myself and think, okay, I mean, I'm barely breathing. It hurts to breathe. I mean, I still got part of a branch sticking out of my tummy.
Right.
And I thought, oh, this is really bad.
Yeah.
And he goes, no, but they'll find us. So some, and I guess I passed out. Some 7 hours, 42 minutes, and 10 seconds later.
Wow.
I heard another airship. And Tom's going, they're here, we're good. And I remember looking over to my left, because our airship was still hung up in the trees.
Really?
And what I saw was a shopping cart. Now, I love to shop.
Uh-huh.
All right, but I saw a shopping cart coming out of the sky. And it was a Coast Guard airship.
Uh-huh.
And I saw this very cute paraswimmer. I mean, I remember thinking, and he had these blue eyes, you know, and his flight suit was unzipped just a little bit. And I was thinking, oh, my, you're cute.
Yeah. And, excuse me, you were dying there. That's what you were thinking. Wow.
I'm single. I'm a bad girl. I'm sorry. Okay.
Wow.
But and he goes, Miss, you need to come with me. And I'm like, oh, sweetheart, I'll go with you anywhere. And so I said, where are we going? And he goes, I want you to come on over here into my rescue basket, and we're going to go up into the airship. And I looked up. I looked, and I said, oh, heck no. I'm cleaning that up for y'all, okay?
It's okay.
But I said, heck no, I'm not another helicopter. You see mine? We already been there, done that. We're not doing it. You call
me.
You're
not going on another one.
No, as cute as he was.
Yeah.
No, I'm not gonna do that.
Wow.
So he called me a ground ambulance, and he said, I don't know, Miss, there's not a road for 80 miles or something like that. We're way out in the middle of nowhere. And I said, well, sweetie, just point me the direction to walk, and point me to the road. I'll meet him there. I'm not doing this. And he's grabbing my hair on the left side. Not really long hair, as y'all can see. And he's wrapping it around his hand.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And I like that. I like, you know, kid, I like this. But I'm in my mind, again, that blonde mind. Blondes aren't dumb. We just a little slow on the uptake. All right. And I'm thinking, why is he doing this? But it does feel good. I like this. But why is he doing this? And he looked at me and he goes, Miss, we got like 15 minutes to bingo. And that's the code for when they're on fuel reserve. They need to be heading back. He goes, I'm not going to ask you again. I said, well, sweetheart, y'all might as well just head on out.
Yeah.
And with that, he jerked my head because he had a hold of my hair.
Uh-huh.
Oh, made me mad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Made me mad. But I fell into the basket, and that's the last thing I remember.
Right.
Till I woke up, and it was apparently 6 weeks later. I was in a coma.
6 weeks.
Wow.
I was
God.
In intensive care for 6 weeks.
Wow.
I had to have 3 operations to save my life.
Yeah.
They looked at my sister and said, you know, Abby's not going to make it. She has less than 1% chance. I mean, I had critical. My pelvis was shattered. I mean, I just messed up. I was. And they said, not make it. And they said, nope. She's a Texan. She can do it.
Yeah.
You know, and they refused to sign the donor paper because they wanted to take me off the ventilator and just let me go.
Really?
Oh, wow.
And 6 weeks later, she was going, you did it. You did it. And I remember I opened my eyes and I looked up and I saw the ceiling tiles and I was thinking, oh, my God, they're filthy. Where am I? And then she's looking at me going, you did it. You did it. And I'm like, oh, darn.
Yeah.
What did I do? What did I do now? And she goes, you fooled him. And I was in the hospital another 3 months after that.
Wow.
And
what a story.
Man. Oh, yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
So how long did it take you to recover to
about
go back
a year.
To normal? A year.
About a year. I went back to the airship. I had to go back and do it. I had to kick it in the butt. I had to do it. The only problem was we hit that turbulence you were talking about, Mia. Okay? And it was like, oh, God. Of course, now my patient's like, am I dying? No, sweetheart, no.
Oh.
Of course, I always look scared.
Yeah.
So they were scared. And I wasn't doing my patients any good anymore.
Right.
So my sister took me to Hooters.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And she kept going. Now, I had over 400 stitches, 200 staples. I mean, titanium plates, everything.
Jeez.
All right.
Yeah, good.
Mm-hmm. And I just, you know, I felt like Frankenstein's bride.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know? And she kept going, you're so beautiful. And I'm like, you know what? I don't want to hear this anymore. I just don't.
Yeah.
You know, I never thought I was, but what I had was gone. And so we went to Hooters, and I wanted to shut her up.
Right.
So I asked for the manager. And he came over and goes, what's the problem? I said, look, I want to ask you a question. Am I pretty enough to be a Hooters girl? This was in Dallas. Okay? Of course, y'all know where he looked first, right? At my face, right? We're going to stick with that story. Okay. And he goes, you're hired. And I looked at my sister and I said, so Cecil, just shut up.
Yeah.
And then they went, wait, what? And I was hired on the spot. That
really?
Was the beginning of my new career right
really?
There.
Really? Wow.
And that was based on your chest, on your bosom.
No, it has based on my hair and it's my story and I'm sticking to it.
Okay.
Yes, this, right. Yes, I am kind of big up top. This is all me. I'm not a Barbie. There's no plastic in me. So.
No plastic?
No.
Wow.
Absolutely not.
So you've always had it like really...
Yes, I started growing up when I was in elementary school.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. And
it was
it probably, yeah, it probably
it
gave you
tough.
A hard time, huh?
Oh, yeah, the boys.
Yeah.
Yes. And some of the girls, too. Girls can be mean. Y'all don't know it, but they can be mean.
Oh, yeah.
That's true, yeah.
Yes.
Well, what can you do? You know, I mean.
I know.
You're blessed. You got to take it. Yeah.
Exactly. You, I mean, see this? This is my necklace. And y'all out there in Radio Land can't see this, but I have my flight wings.
Oh, yeah.
And if y'all look at all my pictures, except for Victoria's Secret, because they don't want this, but all my photos, I wear my flight wings. And on my flight wings is a cross.
Mm-hmm.
I never take this off. Never.
Yeah.
Never. And even when I was a bunny. They would still, the bunny mother would still let me float by with it if she was in a good mood.
Mm,
but it's just kind of, somebody was looking out for me.
Yeah.
I mean.
Definitely.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure. So after Hooters, what did you do then?
When I was at Hooters, now, Mel, you'll know this. Every boy is a photographer. Everybody has contacts, isn't it right? You heard that. Oh, yes, I'm a photographer. Playboy, I do this, I do that. Sure you are, sweetheart, because boys have more lines than the phone company. Sorry, Sam. Sorry,
it's
taking a drink of coffee. Sorry.
It's true.
It is.
Yeah.
So I, you know, after a while, I kind of, and I had this one boy come in from a very large cosmetic company, and he said, you know, we'd love you to be our cover girl for... Mm. Our European line. I'm like, yes, sweetheart, sure.
Yeah.
You know? And he goes, well, here's my card. And I went, oh, wow, you're good. Yeah. You went and had some cards made? You know, I'm going to, don't listen, Hooters, but I gave him his soda for free.
Right.
Just because he thought that much into it. And I took it and threw it in my car. And my sister found it, and she goes, well, what's this? You know? And one thing led to another. She called him, and then one day I had a photo shoot out there, and I started doing trade shows. Okay. I don't care for doing that. But I started doing trade shows and just started going from there.
Wow. And how did you end up at Playboy Club?
I did a photo shoot for a gift guide.
Okay.
And I was asked, would you ever consider being a Playboy bunny? And I went, oh, sweetheart, I don't do anything with my clothes off.
Yeah.
I just don't do that. And he said, no, a bunny. And I'm like, oh, what's the difference? And they explained to me, you know, there's a playmate and there's the bunnies.
Right.
The bunnies work in the clubs and they wear the little bunny suits with a really poofy tail and
right.
stuff. And I went, oh, I'd do that. And then, of course, the benefits the work in there. Oh, my God, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, yes.
Really?
And I did. I got hired. I was a Playboy bunny at the Palms Playboy Club.
Wow. So that's so those clubs are pretty much people come in there, is there like any topless shows or anything?
No.
So what do they do there? Just drink?
Yes, they drink the food. I mean, like if you know, you want a steak, we're talking, you know, like a 3-inch thick steak.
Really?
The food is wonderful. Like, when y'all go there, like, it's very classy. Like, you have to wear a coat. You have to wear a tie.
Oh, okay.
You know, you don't go in with blue jeans or, you know, your pants right. down around the knees. You know, some of the boys do that. That's that's just not acceptable. The girls wear pretty dresses. And it's just, it's a very elegant restaurant bar, I guess.
Right. Yeah. And, yeah, but what, so, I mean, it could have been anything. Not just Playboy, right? I mean, it's not like they had any... sex going on or
no,
taking clothes off
no,
or anything like that.
No,
right?
We weren't.
So it was just a club but with a theme to it.
Yes. And, yeah. Yes. And it was Playboy. Playboy is you know, a milestone. It's
right.
It's it. Everything yeah. based off of Playboy. All these other magazines started from there. Mr.
Right.
Hafner.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and if you look back, I mean, Marilyn Monroe and all these beautiful, classy women, it was always been classy.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. So how long did you work there? A few years?
I worked there a few years uh-huh. until we found out that the Palms had filed bankruptcy mm-hmm. and Playboy, and this is, you know, of course I don't speak for them, but rumor was it that Playboy said, oh, we don't want to be any part of this, and
right.
they parted directions.
Right.
And it was the last Playboy club in the United States.
Wow. That was in Vegas, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Wow.
I loved it. Oh, amazing. My God. It was so nice.
Yeah.
But I met a lot of people there, too.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Affluent people, too,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I started doing commercials in Las Vegas. And
really?
I was on a TV show and
wow,
a movie, and it's
cool.
just going from there.
Yeah. So you moved to Vegas especially for that?
Yes, sir, I did.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Oh, very cool.
I did.
So, okay, well, we only have a few minutes left. So after that, what did you do? Did you get into modeling more?
I did. I started doing more and more modeling, bikini uh-huh. modeling for, you know, well-known lingerie company. Mm-hmm. And we do all that down here in Seal Beach.
Yeah.
By the way.
Really?
Yes. And then I started moving more into acting, which I really love.
Really?
Commercials, and I was on a TV show for Turner Network, Discovery Network. I did a TV show.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I was in Hangover Part 3.
So, oh, really?
Yes.
Wow.
And I have more stuff. I did a cast in a new series coming up. So.
Oh, very nice.
Yes.
So you're keeping busy.
I am. Life
yeah.
is wonderful.
Yeah.
You know, I'm living proof that no matter what happens to y'all, you can get through it. I mean,
right.
I am living proof of that. Miracles happen. You lose your house. You lose your car. It doesn't matter.
That's
you lose your
true.
Boyfriend, your girlfriend. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
The sun comes
something,
up tomorrow.
Exactly.
Yes.
Something new will come along,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Wow. Very cool. So where can people find out more about you?
They can search, they can Google me. They can do Abigail Rich, actress, or Abigail Rich, model, or Abigail Rich, Playboy bunny.
Yeah.
And I'm on Facebook. I have like 50,000 fans right now all over the world. And I will message with, there's a little message button. I talk to thousands of fans every week. They ask questions about my horse or the crash or
really?
If I'm single, stuff like that. So, and you know.
So how did you get that following from your acting, the modeling?
What? Don't know.
You don't know.
I
but
don't
you are
know.
Known, obviously.
Absolutely.
To some people, to 50,000
yes.
people.
There's over 50,000. I don't remember the exact number.
Nice. So are you utilizing that? I mean,
I do. I communicate with my fans. I have a lot of folks. I mean, literally all over the world. In fact, I recently talked to some folks in the Netherlands. Yes, the Netherlands. And they want me on a TV show there.
Mm-hmm.
And they connected through Facebook, and
very
I'm
nice.
Gonna be. They're writing a chapter in a book about me. So
really,
yes,
good.
Wow. Life is wonderful.
Yeah, wonderful.
It is.
Well, you're definitely a proof that the things can turn around.
Absolutely.
You know, and so you're keeping busy now and everything, right?
I am.
Right.
Yes.
Doing acting, modeling.
Yes, I'm trying to steer more towards acting right now. I'm trying to get my SAG card.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you gotta get 3 SAG. You know. Films
vouchers,
to do that. I
yeah.
have vouchers, exactly.
Yeah.
I'm working towards that. I want to do that. So if anybody out there can help me out, let me know.
There you go. There you go. So yeah, just search for Abigail Rich on Google, Facebook, everything. Do you utilize Twitter as well, or you
I
like
don't
Facebook?
Yet because you can yeah. only write so much.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, Facebook. I mean, I have people write me things, and I write a lot back.
I know. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. I like Facebook so much better.
Yes.
You know, Twitter seems like so impersonal.
Yes.
It's just because you sort of broadcast to the world, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Whereas with Facebook, you have a circle of friends.
Right. And like if y'all messaged me, it comes right to my email.
Okay.
You know, nobody else, my agent, my managers don't see it. I get to see it.
Great.
You know, I mean, and I can talk with them. It's more personal.
Yeah. So people can communicate with you.
And I hope your listeners will do that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And there's some pictures in there, too.
If you guys want pictures, you can get pictures. And, well, Abigail, thank you so much for joining us.
I'm so honored that y'all had me here.
Of course. You're a lot of fun. Very interesting. And we wish you a lot of success and continued success in everything. And that's it. So, you know, all your fans can listen to the show after the fact if they haven't.
Well, we're going to put it on Facebook, too.
Yeah, for sure.
Awesome.
All right. Well, thanks, Mia. Thank you.
Thank you. And happy hump day.
Happy hump day. And thanks, everybody, for listening. And we'll see you tomorrow.
You have been listening to Sam in the Morning with Mia, which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you have a question for the show or if you'd like to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, please send an email along to sam@latalkradio.com. Sam in the Morning with Mia is a production of LA Talk Radio, where we say what we want.